Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Okay, so we'll get into the Word, then we've got plenty of time to meet with God afterwards. Now, we've been having a rich time with the Lord recently. In these last couple of weeks. He is the great I am. I am now. Everything in Him is now. It's always in the present. And we saw last week in the keynote that behind everything that happens to us is the love of God. That it doesn't matter what situation we're in. Can you let somebody in at the back, please? It doesn't matter what situation we're in, we can always give thanks because nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it's become clear, hasn't it, that when you resent your circumstances, God doesn't lift a finger to help you. He waits until you give thanks that He is greater than the circumstances and that those circumstances have not separated you from His love. So behind all those circumstances is God's love for us. We're booming a bit here at the front. So that's great because it knows that you know, therefore, that at all times God is holding you in His love. Never for a moment can you ever be outside of that love. So, we've had this rich time of seeing all that we have in Him and how He holds us in that unchanging, eternal love. Now, we focus on the complementary truth that the secret is Christ in you. This one in whom we live also lives in us. Now, we know that. But what we need to share together this morning is some of the implications of that, really what it means, as well as how God wants us to experience Christ in us in an ever-increasing way. You see, when you're in a good place spiritually, you know Christ is in you. When you're not in a good place spiritually, you're wondering where He is. But actually, He's still in you. It's just that you have got distracted, usually by yourself or your circumstances, and you're not focused on Him in the way that you have been at other times. Now, we're going to begin in John chapter 14. Listening to what Jesus is saying about Himself in relation to the Father. Chapter 14, verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And you remember from your John studies that John is bringing revelation of the way that Jesus related to the Father, because God's purpose is that we now relate to Jesus in the same way that he related to the Father. So if we just take those words and apply them to ourselves in our present situation, Jesus would be asking us the question, don't you believe that I am in you and you are in me? Don't you believe that? Now, if you believe that, it's going to have some very practical ramifications. You see, for Jesus, that meant that everything he said and did was the Father working through him. It wasn't just that he was satisfied with knowing that was his position. Well, I'm living in the Father and the Father's living in me. Hallelujah. No, it meant that because the Father lived in him, whatever he said and did was the Father rather than him. Now, if the same principle is to be operating in our lives, then God wants something of that to be reflected in us. That it's not I, but Christ in me. We know Paul's testimony in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. Okay, so let's consider for a moment, what does it mean to say that Christ is in you? Now, we saw in the first week of term that God is I am, and when Jesus came, he took on that mantle, I am. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life, and so on. And we know that God, by definition, can never change. He is always who he is. And he is always completely who he is at any given moment. Because he is eternally the same. So we can say God is exactly the same as the Father in whom Jesus lived when he was on earth. And Jesus, as the reigning Christ, is exactly the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing in God ever changes. Now, if Christ is in me, his life is in me. There isn't a dead Christ. He was raised from the dead. He's a living Christ. So if Christ is in me, I have his risen, glorified, victorious life. Right, now, how can you separate the life of Jesus from his love? Well, you can't, because the nature of his life is love. How can you separate the life of Christ from his holiness? Well, you can't. Because he is holy, his life is holy. How can you separate the life of Christ from his power? Well, you can't. Because his life is almighty. It is all powerful. How can you separate the life of Christ from his joy? Well, you can't, because it's joyful life. It was the anointing of the oil of joy that was upon Jesus that raised him above his companions. How can you separate the wisdom of Jesus from his life? You can't. Now, the scripture says that we have been given the fullness of his life. So if you have the fullness of his life, his love is in you, his power is in you, his wisdom is in you, his joy is in you, his goodness is in you, his faithfulness is in you, his patience, his kindness, his grace, his mercy. All that he is in you. Now, theologically, we can all assent to that. We can agree with that. But it raises an inevitable question. Well, if all those qualities of the life of Christ are in us, why is this not more evident? Paul says that we have this treasure in jars of clay, that our natural lives are just like that jar of clay, but within the jar is the treasure. When you go to the supermarket, unless you're some kind of crank, you don't go around looking for the nicest jars. It's the content in the jars that you're after. I mean, there may be one or two that go for the shape of the jars, but you'd need to pray deliverance over them. So we go for the content. The jar is immaterial. The jar is just a container. What you're after is the content. And our bodies are merely containers of the life of Christ. What matters is Christ in us, the hope of glory. But the thing about a jar is that you have to undo it to get at its contents. It has to be opened. And so if what God has put within us is going to be accessible to others, and of course the contents of the jar are not for the sake of the jar. Hello? Yeah. You don't put the contents in to bless the jar, but to bless those who will open the jar and receive the contents. The fruit is not for the branch. The content is not for the jar. So Christ is living in you, not for your sake, but for the sake of others. Yes. Now, there are two things, therefore, that are absolutely essential if we are really going to express the fullness of Christ in our lives. You see, if Christ is in me and Christ is in you, we have the same Christ within us. I don't have more of Christ than you. You don't have less of Christ than me. We have Christ in us. Now, the two essential things, if this is going to be a reality in our practical lives, is first of all faith. You see, only as much as you believe Can Christ be manifested through your life? Now, let me put that simply. You have the same power in you that raised Jesus from the dead. That would have to rate among the top miracles, raising people from the dead. You have that same power in you. You are also a disciple, and you are called, therefore, according to the Great Commission, to fulfill every command that Jesus gave those first disciples. One of those commands was to raise the dead. Have you done it yet? See, the question is, have you the faith for that? Well, there's probably a yes and a no. You believe it in theory, but it isn't until you're in the practical situation where you would discover whether you had the faith for it or not. But what does the scripture say? That the power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. So there potentially within you is the power for the greatest of miracles. And if the power for the greatest of miracles is there within you, then so is the power for any lesser miracle. So healing the sick is much more straightforward than raising the dead. But you see, there are many, many Christians who have Christ living in them, but they don't have faith to heal the sick. Why not? If Christ is in them, the power to heal the sick is in them. And that is another command that Jesus gave those first disciples. Not pray for the sick, but heal the sick. We see in Jesus that he had authority over all the power of the devil, and that he gave that authority to those first disciples. So you have, if Christ is in you, you have the one who is Lord, sovereign, king, and has authority over all the powers of darkness. That authority is in you. The power is in you. And in Scripture, authority and power go together. So, what do you believe? What do you believe you have? What do you believe you can do with what you have? You know that if Christ is in you, the love of God is in you. Now, that might sound a little bit easier, right? Well, yes, I can love. But of course, you're called to love with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love others as Christ has loved you. Now, he can only tell you to love others as Christ has loved you because he's put his own love within you. So we can be loving towards others, but do we love them with Christ? Not do we just show people some love, some compassion, some concern, but do we love them with Christ? You see, if you understand what Jesus is saying about his relationship with the Father, what he's saying is, you hear me speak, but actually you hear the Father. You see me work, but actually you're seeing the Father working. Hello? Now, by the same token, God's purpose for us is, you hear me speak, but it's Christ who speaks. Now, it's a bit awesome to actually claim you speak in the name of the Lord, because there are some very strict warnings in Scripture not to claim that if it's not the Lord speaking. But of course, we have to have the confidence that God will speak through us, that God will work through us, because Christ is in us. So this should be our expectation. So it all depends on faith, what we believe we can do, or really what Christ can do through us. Because whatever you believe, he will do. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Are we there? But there is something else that is essential. You see, Jesus loved the Father. Now, we can say, yes, well, I love the Lord. I don't question it. But what did love mean for Jesus? What did love for his Father actually mean in practice? It meant that he was humbly, totally, wholeheartedly, completely submitted to the authority and the will of his Father, so that he lived in joyful, loving obedience. Yes. So how much Jesus can express his life through your life depends upon these two things: what you believe and how fully submitted you are to the authority of Jesus. And of course, because we understand a little bit about authority, that's authority to Jesus within the context of the body of Christ of which he has made us a part. It's not just my personal submission to Jesus, but my personal submission within the context of the body, because I'm only a part of the body. Who knows that a hand does not stick out of the head? Likewise, a leg doesn't stick out. This is too deep for some of you, but pray for revelation if you don't get it. You cannot operate with authority without being submitted in the body as well as to the Lord. So even your faith is within the context of the body, because the body is the household of faith. What God hates is independence. You see, Jesus never acted in independence. So it says in Philippians chapter 2 that he humbled himself and made himself nothing. So there is a sense in which if Christ is to be expressed through our lives, we have to humble ourselves and realize that we're nothing. On Sunday, I'll be celebrating his 50 years of ordained ministry. And I've been blessed by seeing God do so many amazing, wonderful things and so many people being blessed. But one of the keys to that is living with the constant knowledge that I can't do anything. I've always believed what Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So the fear almost is that you would not dare to do anything apart from him. Yeah. to speak apart from him, to act apart from him, because that can't produce any fruit. So when there is fruit in our lives, that fruit is the evidence of Christ in us, Christ working through us. Therefore, all the glory goes to Christ and not to us, because we're just the jars. You know, when you've consumed the contents of the jar, you throw it away. You don't give thanks for the jar, but you appreciated the contents. Your jar will be thrown away. It'll either be put in a fire or in the ground, and boom, that's all you need of your natural body. You'll have a risen, resurrected body, hallelujah. But when God's finished with your body, it'll just get thrown away. Nice, cheerful subject. Okay, no? But I mean, that's it. The body will have served its purpose. Amen? Of simply being a container, a purveyor of the life of Christ. But you see, whatever has been produced is the result of the life of Christ that is within the jar. Amen? So, where are you in terms of how much of Christ is evidenced in your life, how much fruit is being produced, and so on? It all depends upon those two principles. Your faith and your submission. Now, let me talk about submission for a moment, because it's a wonderful subject. First of all, the submission is not to a ministry, but it's to a person. You see, your submission first and foremost is to Jesus. Now, it's within the context of the body. Never forget that. It's essential. But it is submission to the person of Christ. Now, it's very easy for people to get deceived, self-deceived at that point. Because we can imagine that we love God more than we really do. We can imagine that we're submitted to Him more than we really are. You see, how do you know that you really are submitted to Him? Well, if He asks you to do something, you do it, even if it's the last thing in the world you want to do. And you do it without argument and without hesitation. Because you love Him. And because you're submitted to Him. There's not a discussion, there's not an argument. There's no bargaining process. He speaks, you do it. You see, this is what Jesus is saying about the way He related to the Father. Well, whatever He gives me to speak, I speak. Whatever He tells me to do, I do. Now, of course, there can be absolutely no comparison with Jesus, but what I can say is over these 50 years, I've sought to do that as far as I humanly possibly can. But you see, if you think you've got something to say, it doesn't work. And there are lots of very strongly opinionated Christians who think they've got something to say. They look at a situation and they want to put everything and everybody right. Hello? Whereas, in fact, the only thing that matters is what God says into that situation. And Jesus understood that, you see. When we see things that are not right, we know what is right and what isn't right. But just criticizing or judging a situation doesn't change it. This is why you always beware of anybody who brings a so-called prophecy with a sense of judgment. It's never from the Holy Spirit. If you look at prophecy in the New Testament, it's always to encourage. It will correct, but it will never judge. And when a prophecy is given with a spirit of judgment, you know it is not the Holy Spirit, but the soul of the person that is speaking, who is judging the situation. How do we know that? Well, Jesus says, do not judge. So the Holy Spirit is not going to get you to judge in opposition to the Word of God. Hello? You see, Jesus did not come and criticize and judge the situation. There was so much to judge, but what he came and did was to speak the truth into the situation. And so he never aimed at the circumstances, he always aimed at the heart. So people coming to him to be healed, they were concerned about the circumstances. But Jesus gets immediately to the heart. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Never mind the circumstances, never mind the sickness. What matters is, do you believe? Do you believe that now you will be healed? You see, he goes right to the heart of the matter. And that's always the first issue, isn't it? No matter what situation we're in. What do we believe? Do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that because he is I am, do you believe that because Jesus Christ has fulfilled everything on the cross, do you believe that you have already received it, that it is already done, and that by faith you have already received it, even though there's no evidence? See, what do you believe? So, Jesus demonstrated a life that was truly submitted to the person of his Father. Now, you see this in so many ways in the gospel. It's there all the way through. Like, for example, after that great night when everybody in Capernaum was healed, and the following day he was up early and praying. And the disciples were searching for him. Everybody was looking for him. They thought they'd have another great meeting. And Jesus is off away praying, listening to his Father, getting the strategy from his Father. And his Father says, no, go to the other villages. To the disciples, that didn't make sense. Everything was set up for a real victory time in the city, in Capernaum. But no, to Jesus, all that mattered is, what is the Father saying? The Father saying, no, you go to the small villages now. You go to the out-of-way places because I've sent you for all the people, not just those in Capernaum. Submission is obedience. Is expressed in obedience. Now, what are we talking about? We're actually talking about the nature of the heart. A believing, humble, submissive heart. Now, to God, that is a heart of love. As far as God is concerned, that is the new heart that he has put within us. What gets in the way of that is, of course, our soulishness. our own thinking, our own desires, our own estimate of the situation. I don't know how many times over the years, I mean, it would be in hundreds, probably even thousands of times over the years when I've been speaking, because, you know, a lot of my ministry has been traveling and you're in a situation, you don't know the people, you don't know anything about the situation. So the preaching has to be prophetic. And I'm speaking stuff, and you've got absolutely no idea as to whether what you're saying really is addressing the situation. Because if you stand back and think, you would say, I would never, ever, ever have chosen to say that in this situation. See? And you discover afterwards that it was exactly the right word, that you were talking into things that, you know, all the local people, they knew what God was addressing, even though you didn't. Now, you see, this is the whole point. The most difficult thing for a preacher in a local church is to write his sermon as the week develops. He starts to write it in his mind. I was so glad that when I was a very, very young and pastor, newly ordained, I got warned about this. Because it is so easy to do. You know, you're in one situation, you think, well, you just wait till Sunday. I know what needs to be said. And then there's another situation, yeah, you know what needs to be said there. And you know, you sort of, it grows in you. So by the time you get to Sunday morning, you're ready to slay all the giants that have been raising their ugly heads during the week. And you see, you can do that. And not speak what God wants you to speak. And I can remember when I was in Luton, I had a week where there was one issue, one situation after another, you know. And I was just full of this stuff. And I on the Saturday night, I went into the church building, shut the door, and I preached a sermon to the empty pews. And I really went for it. I really preached a sermon. I got it all out of my system. Then I went and knelt down and said, "Now, Lord, what do you want to say tomorrow?" And you see, the sermon on the Sunday morning was totally different from that sermon on, I mean, the pews heard everything that they needed to hear that night. If pews could be converted, they would all have knelt down and given their lives to the Lord. But the only thing that matters, you see, is what God wants to say. And of course, this isn't only about preaching, it's also about our witness, our conversations. Often I'm having a conversation with someone, and I'm saying something, and it's like the Holy Spirit within me says, just go on, just go on, just go on, just go on. And I realize I might not know the person, might only just have met them, but I realize God is speaking to them. And he's giving me words to speak. So I just go on speaking in that kind of situation, because I know that what he is doing is he's ministering to that person. Yeah. Now, you see, this is Christ in you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's Christ in me, but the same thing would be true for you, Christ in you. It's not something that's confined to preaching, but God can speak through us. Now, listen carefully. But that only works when you're not conscious of it. When you're self-conscious about it, it doesn't work. It's self that comes out, not him. Right, now I'm going to bring the word of the Lord to this person. Oh dear, no, 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 no. Because you see, that's you saying, I am going to do something. And it's not I, but Christ in me. You see, everything has to be initiated by him. If Christ is in you, how dare you initiate anything? I mean, who are you to initiate something and expect Christ to go along with you? Isn't it better for him to initiate things so you go along with him?
Yes.
Anybody know what I'm talking about here?
Yes.
Knowledge puffs up. Very, very, very important thing. You see, when you think you know something, you're in danger. You're in danger of trusting what you know rather than trusting him. You're in danger of bringing what you know rather than bringing the word of the Lord or the life of the Lord or the love of the Lord or the compassion of the Lord or whatever it is that he wants to express through you at that moment. You see, Paul said, didn't he, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, we don't live at that sort of spiritual level continuously 24 hours of every day. But what the Lord intends is that at any time he can come forth and express his life. And that we're ready for that, and we allow him to do that, and we don't get in the way of him doing that. Because it's the greatest desire of our hearts. Not I, but Christ. So it's not depending on our knowledge, it's depending upon him. It's not what we know, but how much we know him. Now, let's get back to see to what he was saying the first week of term. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow hasn't happened. So the only thing that ever matters is how you relate to the Lord today. Doesn't matter how you've related in the past. Doesn't matter how I've related in the past. If I'm going to bring a keynote this morning, all that matters today is how I relate to Jesus Christ today. How submitted I am to him today. How he can speak or work through me today. That's all that matters. Never mind what he's done in the past, that's not going to affect today.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, well, tomorrow can't affect today. That's why Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. Each day has got enough cares of its own. You've got enough to do today without worrying about tomorrow. Just be in the place where I can speak through you, I can work through you, I can express my life through you today. Today is the only gift that you've got, Christ in you today. So praise God. See, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much I've seen of God in the last 50 years if I'm not in the right place for him today.
Yes.
I can't do what he wants today. I can't bring the word he wants today. So if I was not doing what he wanted today, the last 50 years would count for nothing. Because he's the God of now.
Yes.
I am now. I am now. Now I am. So this helps us to understand how important it is for us to have a consistent relationship with the Lord. I mean, how can we get launched into the day without prayer? I don't mean at the 8 o'clock. You've done your praying before you come to the 8 o'clock. There's a wonderful, wonderful sense of the Lord's holy presence at the early morning communion this morning. Just dwelling, really, just abiding in His holiness. It was wonderful. So, this is all that matters today. It's like Jesus saying, I'm in the Father today. The Father is in me today. So the Father is going to speak through me and the Father is going to work through me today. But that's the attitude that we all need to have. Yeah, Christ is in me today. All that matters is what Christ can speak through me and how Christ can work through me, how Christ can express His life through me today. He's not training you up for one day when you leave Rafi, then He can begin to work through you. He's wanting to teach you how to express His life today. Yes. So that you're well experienced by the time you leave Rafi, leave the college. Amen?
Yes.
And then He can express His life through you wherever He leads you thereafter. So this is all a matter of the heart, the believing heart, the submitted heart. Jesus had a believing heart and a submitted heart. Now, if you have a believing heart, you will believe no matter what situation you're in. If you have a submitted heart, you will submit in whatever way God asks you to submit. You submit to Him, you submit to leadership, you submit to one another, you're submitted in the body, you're submitted to governmental authorities. In every way that the Scripture tells you to be submitted, you're submitted. Why? Because you've got a submitted heart. If you haven't, that's dangerous for you and it's dangerous for others. Because you'll be likely to do things that don't come out of submission to Him. You take matters into your own hands. It's the same with the faith. The faith, what is faith? It's trust in Him. But you see, how can you trust Him without submitting to Him? Hello? And you see, if you love Him, then you're submitted to Him. This is why Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. It isn't that, you know, if you love me, you'll be legalistically obedient to every word that I've spoken. It's, no, if you love me, you will simply be submitted to my word, you'll be submitted to my authority, you'll be submitted to pleasing me, you'll want my will for your life, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. He knows it all comes out of a submitted heart. Okay. If you think you've got a believing heart, beware. If you think you've got a submitted heart, beware. Why do I say that? Because, you see, it's not your estimate of yourself that matters. I have a believing heart, and yet I need to believe more. I need to trust God more. And so do you. We can never say we've arrived. I have a submitted heart, but I need to submit to Him more fully. You see, as soon as you think that you've reached a place in God, He then opens your eyes and you see, no, there's still further to go.
Yeah.
You know, I used to do a lot of hill climbing and walking in my younger days. And there's that galling experience where, you know, you see the peak and you get there only to discover it isn't the peak. And the real peak was out of your vision. And you reach that height and then you say, oh, goodness, there's more to go. And the really galling thing is often when you've got to that, you've got to go down before you go up again. And you think, wait a minute, I've got this. Why do I need to go down? Because that's the contours. And you can't wish yourself onto the peak. So it's great life, because so often spiritually it's like that. We get to a point and think, oh, have I arrived? And God said, no. But then you've got to go down, humble yourself more fully than ever before,
yeah,
to get to the greater heights. You know, the saints of old said, the deeper you go, the higher you go. My architectural background comes in there. You know, the higher the building, the deeper the foundations. You don't need deep foundations just for a little house, but if you're going to build a skyscraper, you've got to have deep foundations. So the deeper you go with God, the higher He can lift you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may exalt you. And there are so many, you see, that want the ministry, the recognition, the fruit, but they're not prepared to go down in order that God might deal with them. And do the work in their hearts that He knows to be necessary. So, what does Jesus say? By their fruit you will know them. Look at the fruit. Because that fruit is the evidence of the faith and the submission. Faith and love. Love, submission, obedience. All that counts is faith working through love. But not love, not sentimental slush, but this real submission to the will of God. So it's a great life.
Amen.
Now, just one or two more things before we pray. What's God going to do with your life? Well, you don't know. 50 years ago, I would have no idea what He was going to do in those 50 years. But The Word of God says that He has prepared good things for us to walk in. Now, what does that mean? Remember, I am dwells in eternity, not in our time frame. Yes? So, He's got it planned. He's got all the good things planned. And along the course, along the way, you will have a number of decisions to make. Now, some of those decisions, when they're correct, will take you further on in God's plan. Some of the decisions you make may be wrong, which will take you momentarily out of His plan, and He'll have to wait until you come back to the right decision so that His plan, the good things He has prepared for you, can then be outworked. The good thing, the encouraging thing is this: when you make a wrong decision, His plan doesn't change. He doesn't say, right, now then, we need to revise the plan, because I didn't know you were going to make that wrong decision, so I think we better adjust things. No. He knows the end from the beginning, because He dwells in eternity. So if you make a wrong decision and you go your way rather than His way, it will hinder what He intended, but it won't prevent ultimately what He intends. He will bring you back to His plan, His purpose, the course that He designed for you. And of course, that course that He has for you may not be what you wanted or thought would happen, which is why you made a wrong decision at certain points, because you decided what you wanted, or you decided to please others because that was their expectation of you, rather than actually doing what God wanted. It's very easy, isn't it, for us to want to please others, especially if they have an impact on our lives. The course of my life could not have been what it was if I'd pleased my wife. There were key moments, key decisions in those 50 years when I've gone to and talked with Caroline about what I believed God was saying, and being, she's a very, very open, honest person, Caroline, those of you who know her, there's absolutely no side with her. What you see is what you get. And so she would say to me, I'm not there. I'm not in the place of faith, but I trust you. And I trust that you've heard the Lord. So I'm happy to go along with it. See, that's a submitted heart. And what I've known is, you see, that if we made the decision according to what God wanted, and I mean, some of those decisions, I know Caroline just hasn't wanted. She really did not want that at all. But still, she went along with it, you see. That's a submissive wife, by the way, you young ladies. So I knew that God would do the work in her if she agreed in making the right decision. Can you understand that? But it wasn't, and it shouldn't be, a matter of sitting down and discussing together what we would do. No. You get your direction from the Lord. He tells you what you will do. Huh? He is Lord. He commands. He says, right, this is what you're to do next. As you agree with him and you take the necessary decision, then he pours all the grace into your life to enable that. But he can do that. Why? Because of your submitted heart. Amen. Have I made wrong decisions? Yes. And regretted every one of them. But I've learned through every one of them. And that's the important thing. When you make a wrong decision, okay, God, in his grace, brings you back on course. He doesn't wash his hands of you and say, you've missed it. You're off the list now. Get out the way. No. He is committed eternally to you. Nothing in all creation can separate you from his love. So he's committed to bringing you back on course. In his love, in his mercy, with his grace. Somebody thought, hallelujah. You see, that's the loving kindness of the Lord. And if he needs to deal with you, he'll deal with you. Because he disciplines those he loves. So you jolly well don't make the same mistake again, you know. But he's in charge. This is the thing, he's in charge. He is Lord. He is King. He is supreme. What did we read the other day in Colossians chapter 3? I think Pastor Clive was speaking about it. Supremacy in all things. So Christ, you see, if Christ is in you, and he is, then he is to have the supremacy in all things. Hallelujah. Not just in some things or when it's convenient, but in all things. So it's a great life. Why? Because he's prepared good things. So you make a wrong decision and you've actually, you know, you think that's going to do you good, but actually that wrong decision has taken you out of the goodness. It's taking you out of the good things that he had prepared for you. Say, no. That might appear good to you, but it's not good to me. And if it's not good to me, then it won't be good for you. So come back to my way, my plan, my purpose, my goodness. Amen. It's great. So, let's just draw all this to a close so we can then pray. We Christians are very good at paying lip service to things. We're very good at saying, even to non-believers, what we need to be saying to ourselves. Like, you know, you say to non-believers, sin separates you from God. Well, that's why you've given up sinning. Because you want the will of God, you don't want separation, even spiritually, from Him, relationally. So, we also say, oh, it's all about relationship with God. Yeah, it is. Good. So how are you fostering that relationship? You see, this is really the essence of what God is saying to us this morning. Do you not believe, said Jesus, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Do you not believe that? Do you not believe that the secret to my ministry is my unity with the Father? Don't you realize that everything I say and everything I do comes out of relationship with Him? That apart from Him, I can do nothing. Jesus said that, didn't He? So everything depends upon my relationship with Him. So that's true for you, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So, are you listening to me? God does not employ you. Those of you who are on the team, you are not employed by God. You're not even employed by Kingdom Faith, except in a legal, technical way. The importance of that is to realize that your identity is not in your ministry. Your identity is in Christ. And the effectiveness of your ministry, the fruitfulness of your ministry, depends upon your relationship with Him. You can fulfill the function, but how well you fulfill the function depends upon your relationship. With what faith and with what loving, joyful, obedient submission to His will comes from your heart. Do you remember one of the things that we saw last week? That we can't have a thought without God knowing it. That's very, very important to realize that. You see, if you realize that, and you just have a wrong or a questioning thought, or a, you know, I'd rather not do that, or I don't think I'll go to the meeting this morning, or something like that, I immediately have to say, oh, sorry, Lord. Why, I've just sinned. I mean, if I didn't go to a meeting that I was supposed to be at, that would be sin, of course. But just the thought, just making the decision is sin before God. I can't pretend I didn't have that thought. I can't say, no, I didn't think that. I take that back. No, I've had the thought. But you can very rapidly get forgiven. Oh, sorry, Lord. You know that I got no desire to go to the meeting because boom, 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 but I'm going because that's where I'm supposed to be. Thank you, Jesus. Or whatever it may be. I'm just using that as an example. Hello? You see, Christ is in you. He was in you when you had that thought. But the thought didn't come from Him. So it's just sort of bringing everything into line with his thinking rather than your thinking. But what he wants is not just slavish obedience, but joyful, willing, loving submission.
Yes.
Yeah, I rejoice to go on that Lord. You know, this might be very difficult for you to understand, but there have been so many times in my ministry where people make so many demands upon me, and I've gone and, you know, I've been preaching here, there, and everywhere, and I've given and given and given and given, and people expect so much, you know, and you feel just so utterly, you've got to the point where you almost want to scream, Lord, if anybody asks anything more of me, I'll just scream. And then up pops something else, and you don't scream. Because God supplies what you need at that moment. And you see, this is the thing. What people are drawing upon is not me, because I'm just the channel. It's him. And he's saying, yeah, I know you're tired. I know, you know, you feel utterly at the end of yourself. But that's good, because it just gives me even more opportunity to work through you. So just go with it. Just go with it. Just go with it. You understanding? It's a great life. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Come on, let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Now, first of all, thank him that Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Not just a blessing, not just a portion of Christ, but Christ himself. The living, reigning King of heaven. You know, there's that old chorus, heaven is in my heart. Well, it's true. Come on, the kingdom of heaven is within you because the king is within you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So the fullness of life in Christ is in you. All that he is, all that he has, is in you. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him that his life is in you. His love is in you. His power is in you. His joy is in you. His peace is in you. His wisdom is in you. His grace is in you. His mercy is in you. All that he is, Christ in you. So how much do you believe him and how much are you submitted to him? Because that will determine how much of him gets expressed through your life. So just thank him now that he is the author and perfecter of your faith.
He has authored that faith in you. He wants to perfect that faith. He wants to finish that faith. That you trust Him more and more. What matters to Him is today. If you hear His voice today, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. He is the great I Am within you today, now, at the present. You have the fullness of His life today. Nothing is impossible for you today because you believe in Him today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That makes you an overcomer today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I trust in you, not my feelings, not my fears, not my doubt, not my weakness, not my inadequacy. My trust is in you, not my circumstances, not the problems, not the difficult situations, not what the enemy says, not even what others say. My trust is in you. My faith is in you. My confidence is in you. And I praise you, Lord. I bless you. I thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So your trust is in Him and you are submitted to Him. You're submitted to the person, not just to words in a book. Not just to a series of commands, but you're submitted to the one who gave the commands. Hallelujah. So just praise Him right now for a submitted heart, a faith-filled, humble, submissive heart. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So in submitting your heart to Him, you are submitted to love. Hallelujah. Because He is love. Hallelujah. You're submitted to the one who loves you. You're submitted to the one from whom nothing can separate you from His love. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing in the whole of creation. You're submitted to the one who has good things prepared for you to walk in. The one who called and chose you according to His plan and purpose for your life. So thank Him right now for that plan and that purpose that you have. So thank Him that He's going to enable you to make faith decisions that are submitted to His sovereign will. You're not going to simply try to please others by the decisions you make. Because, you know, if I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ, Paul said. So you don't live to please men or to fulfill their expectations. You live to please the Lord and fulfill His plan and purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And He wants you to have the strength of character. Yes. to put that into operation, just like Jesus did. He had that strength of character. Paul was the same, had that strength of character to go with God, to make the right decisions that God wanted. And I tell you, if you have a life like that, there will often be confrontation with people, but it's better that than to have a confrontation with God. So thank Him right now that what He is creating in you is that humble, submitted servant heart. Come on, you've got to desire such a heart, haven't you? And expect such a heart. Remember what He said, see it, desire it, expect it, receive it, expect Christ to work it in you. Remember those five principles God gave us in the first week of term? So see yourself now, not as you are, but as He's going to make you, as you are becoming, one wholeheartedly submitted to His plan and His purpose for your life. Desire that with all your heart. Lord, that's what I desire above everything else. I desire Your will, Your purpose for my life. Expect that. Lord, I expect You to work that out in me. I expect it, Lord. I expect it to happen because I believe for it, Lord. This is what I believe, that Your will, Your plan, Your purpose for my life is going to be fully realized and fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Kurala bazata paria leto bakara sita di sandama. Barata paria leto bakara sita di sandaria leto bakara sita. Thank You, Lord. Those decisions will be in accordance with Your word. They will be in accordance with the wisdom of Your Spirit. And we just give You all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We bless You, mighty God, mighty King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. He's got you. Hallelujah. He's got hold of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank Him that you are His. He's paid the price for you. You are His. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Pura la bazataria lera bakarazita di sandoma. Boparazataria lera bakarazita di sandoma. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Let's listen to the word. So I speak to you as God's chosen people. You are holy, set apart by God to belong to Him as His own children. You are dearly loved by Him and can clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Yes, be patient with one another and forgive any differences that arise between you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, no matter how deeply hurt you feel. The highest virtue is love, for this keeps all these other qualities in their right place and enables you to live in unity with others. As members of the one body of Christ, you have been called to live at peace with all the other members. So let the peace of Christ be a guiding principle of your life, and always be thankful to God. Let the truth, the word of Christ, live in you in all its richness. Then you will be able to teach, encourage, and correct one another with godly wisdom. Keep praising God by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with hearts full of thankfulness to God. Be sure that no matter what you say or do, you are able to do everything in the name of Jesus because you do what pleases Him. And you do it with thankfulness to God the Father because of all you received in His Son. Come on, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pura la basa tapare alera bakala sita disatuba. Bala tapare alera bakala sita disatuba. Baparazatari alera bakala sita disandama. O paparazatari alera bakala sita disandama. O papapakarazatari alera bakala sita ba. Bupapakarazatari alera bakala sita disandama. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.